All righty. Good to see you all. Hey, amen. Nice being here. All righty. So I don't have to introduce myself. I'm Bob. And Corey and Gabby, Mr. and Mrs. Hodges. Nice. Doesn't have a good ring to it, huh? Hey. World famous Joe Calhoun on the end. Push the button on your mic and start it up so you can make an announcement. Joe's got something to say.
Okay, so has anyone ever seen a picture of or visited a national park? Could I get a show of hands? Who is responsible for our national park system? Exactly, Teddy Roosevelt. So about 100 years ago, Teddy Roosevelt had a vision. And he also had a lot of wisdom. He said this, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. I am a college get out. I went back to college 3 different times, dropped out 3 times, never got a college degree. But I have been reading that Bible for 36 years, and I will tell you this, it's valuable. I am concerned that a lot of you that could or should be in Sunday school classes during Sunday school hour from 9:45 to 10:45 on Sunday mornings didn't sign up for classes. And I know that because I went out and asked people, what class did you sign up for? And they said none. I said, would you like to come to mine? And 4 different people on a personal invitation said, yeah, I'll come to your class. I want to give you a personal invitation to attend the financial wisdom class, the family and marriage wisdom class, the shape class, Brian English's class, or the recurring classes. If you are not attending Sunday school classes, you are thwarting your education of the Bible, and it will thwart your spiritual future. So we want to invite you to do that. Brian also said to remind people to go take that food out of there. There's a lot of food down there, and you're welcome to it. So feed your body, feed your spirit. Sign up for a Sunday school class, or just show up next Sunday at 9:45.
There you go. Amen. Good. We're going to get started in just a minute, but we have a couple of things to say. Donnie Moats celebrated 4 years of sobriety last night. Greg, wait, raise your hand. Greg did 2 years. And one of our absolutely fantastic, world's famous nursery workers, Lena, right beside him, they just got engaged. So you can't beat that. If you will serve in the nursery, God will bless your life. My wife, amen. And then Eric Gossi, he came in with 9 years. Amen. Good move. That's right. Had some great stories last night at Maple House where guys just told, and I guess it was all guys told their story, just about a couple of ladies too, their stories about sobriety, and it just absolutely thrills me to hear those. So we are thankful. So I served a pastor with a pastor in Louisiana. He was an old South pastor. He had flowing white hair, not like mine, obviously. Flowing white hair combed back in one of those old South preacher deals. On Easter Sunday, he wore a white suit with a red rose in the lapel. You got that? And he was great. He was as big as I am, and he had a great personality and everything. And there were times when he would say, if you love Jesus and your mother and me, you'll do this. All right? So at the end of this service, I'm going to tell you that. I've got some papers up here. And if you love Jesus, number one. And if you love yourself, number two. And if you love me, way down the list. Pick one of these up and give yourselves a huge gift. So we're going to start this off with a picture of a check. Here's a true story. My brother and I, when we were in high school, had our parents leave town for 2 weeks and left us home alone. Donnie Moat got me after the first service, says, boy, my parents had left my brother and me alone for 2 weeks. It would never have worked. So, at any rate, we were good little boys, and we stayed home. So that's the true part. Everything else is going to be just make-believe. Suppose my dad gave us 10 blank checks and said, if you need anything, just fill in the amount and take care of things. So 2 weeks are up, Dad and Mom come back, and my dad looks at us and says, how'd things go? Great. Well, we used some of the checks. We went to lunch a couple different times, and we had to put gas in the car, and we had to buy groceries, and, you know, glad you had a good trip. We had a good time. That's story number one. Let's do an alternative take. My brother's big. My brother is 6'7", weighs 300 pounds. He always outweighed me 100 pounds. We only had one fight, and that was a mistake on my part, okay? I won't tell that story. Anyway. So let's say Mom and Dad came back and my brother looks like a prune. I mean, he is shriveled up, his face is gray, he's lost massive amounts of weight. I was always skinny. I looked like a stick, but I looked like more like a stick, like a twig. What's the deal? Well, we ran out of food a few days ago, and the only thing we could eat were the green peas out of the freezer. And we had no gas in the car, so we had to walk everywhere, and it's really been hard. What if my dad were to say to us, boys, what did you do with the checks? Oh, they're over there in a dresser. Why didn't you use them? Don't you think I love you? Don't you think I'm able to take care of you? And you know what teenage boys do? They just, we just shrug our shoulders. Well, let's go to another slide. And you put your name there, pay to the order of. And what we have on these four piles of papers on the front are ten blank checks from God. And he doesn't want us to leave this in a drawer somewhere. He wants us to believe that he loves us, which he does. And he also wants us to believe that he is able to take care of all of our needs. He wants us to use these. And my proposal to you, if you love Jesus and yourself and all of that, if you do, I want you to take the next 30 days and to work through these 10, three cycles. I'd like you to really pray and think about that. So I've asked Corey and Gabby and Joe to already get a head start on everybody. And they have been working on these 10 prayers. And so I'm going to show you the first one, because this is the one that Corey and Gabby both chose. So this is a promise from God. This is a blank check from God to you, to Gabby, to Corey, and to Joe, and me, and everybody else in the world. He says, therefore I tell you, Jesus is speaking. He never lied, never told a lie, always told the truth. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. What an absolutely amazing promise. I've got 9 more on these sheets to let you look at and to believe them, okay? Joe's going to hold them up right there. And so Gabby and Corey just got stuck on one. There are some suggested prayers to go with it. I didn't think of these prayers. They are Glenn Clark, a great man back in the last century, wrote these, and I've been praying them off and on for a long time. So here's the first one. I pray for your spirit to enter me and fill me completely. So Corey, why don't you start off, or Gabby, one of the two, and just tell how that has spoken to you, and give us maybe a little slice of your life, okay, so they know who you are.
Hey, guys. Okay. God promises to answer our prayers, and 2019 has been an amazing year for me. Thinking 3.5 years ago, I was a junkie headed to prison, didn't know where my life was headed. I was in prison for about 2 years, and I just want to talk about the 4 things that have happened that God has answered. I prayed on getting married, I prayed on having a baby, quitting smoking, and I can't remember the 4th one right now. And getting a home. Yeah, we closed on a home before Christmas, and all 4 of those answers or prayers were answered, and it's all thanks to God. And that's all I have.
All right, so just hear that. He was baptized not too long ago. And one of the things God does for new Christians, if you're new in the faith, pray. because I've been at this for a long time, and I have seen that God really answers the prayers of new Christians because he wants them to know he answers prayers. And so, Corey, you're 4 for 4, and God has blessed you with that. And in turn, he has blessed us with you being around here. We sure do like, and we thank God that you're here. So, amen. Joe's getting ready to clap. Yeah. Amen. So, hand that over to Gabby. They had the same prayer. That's why I tried to find a blonde for the picture, but I couldn't. But we got a guy and a girl praying together. Tell us about it, Gabby.
So, really, just starting this and Pastor Bob asking me to do this prayer thing was just heaven sent because I was feeling a little depressed. So I took one of Joe's classes, and one of the things that make me tick as a person is being an achiever and doing lots of stuff. Well, now that I'm 7 months pregnant and I wake up at 4:30 a.m. and then I work a 10-hour shift, I've just been drained, physically drained, mentally drained, emotionally drained, which just automatically makes me spiritually drained because I'm just drained. And so starting this prayer thing has really helped me. It's helped me open up to Corey about being depressed, and it's made our relationship better. You know, he asks me, like, how am I doing as a husband? Like, what can I do better? And, like, we just ask each other questions all the time, which is really, really great. But I think, so day one, it was a Monday, and it was for asking God's Spirit to fill me completely. And so a little bit of my story is, you know, I was also an IV drug user. And so I have to go in for glucose testing at the hospital. So basically what you do is you drink this big, nasty drink, and you have to sit there an hour, and they draw your blood, and they test you to make sure you're not diabetic or the baby's healthy, everything like that. And so for me, going into a hospital and to have the nurses draw my blood is really a struggle. So the last time that they had to draw my blood, I think they tried like 6 or 7 times. They didn't get it. I had to reschedule. It was just like it's something that isn't very easy for me. So this time, the nurse had kept trying, and she tried like 3 or 4 times. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to come back and drink this drink again, sit an hour, and it's going to be another struggle. So I really started praying this prayer, and it was like day one that Pastor Bob asked me to do it. And I immediately started praying for God's Spirit to enter me, and she was able to draw my blood like instantly. I started praying, and I was like, okay, that's easy. I should do this all the time, right? And I feel like every single day I have something to talk about with the prayer. Like, this was just day one, which so the craziest thing about it is, and I was an IV drug user for like 8 years. So for me to be able to have a baby or just anything like that is just, I mean, it's crazy to me. Yeah, it's miraculous. And the words that the doctors keep using is everything's normal. Like, all my blood work is normal. All my testing is normal. I got tested to see if I could breastfeed, and they said yes. And I'm like, are you sure? Because, like, it's like stuff that I don't believe that only God can do in my life. 5 years ago, there was nothing normal about me. And, like, today, like, God has completely healed and restored. And just like Corey, like, I don't deserve any of it. You know what I mean? Like, but God says that I deserve it. I feel, yeah. And so I would just say doing this whole prayer thing was really great for me because I was able to journal and see and experience God every single day. And when I was dealing with depression and stuff like that, I would go days where someone had asked me, hey, how is God working in your life today? Like, I wouldn't be able to answer that. But constantly staying in prayer with God, I was able to, like, if someone would ask me, how has God worked in your life today? I would be able to say, because I talked to God throughout the day, seen God throughout the day, and it was just, this prayer thing, I mean, it was really just great. It was like perfect timing for me. I don't know if you guys can picture me, but after working 10 hours, I'm like swollen. I'm like hunched back, walking. Like, it's rough. But the awesome thing about it is, like, the struggles that I have been through, God has brought something so beautiful out of it. So, like, this thing that I'm going through, pregnancy, that's, I think, is super, super hard, God is bringing this beautiful baby. Can you guys think of labor? Like, that's crazy hard stuff, right? Well, God is bringing something so beautiful out of it. With my drug addiction and just my past and being an IV user and almost dying in my addiction, like, I met Jesus Christ through that scenario. Like, everything that has been hard for me, God has just shown himself to me. And so, like, if you're struggling with anything today, like, I think God is going to bring something beautiful out of it.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Wow. That's sweet. I have nothing better to say. That's great. So, the challenge is to pray. And there are 10 prayers that you can pray. And there are 10 promises that are very similar to the one that I just read and the one I'm getting ready to read. This is day 4, I think. And so this is the one that really zinged Joe. And Daniel got up this morning at 4:30. I know she's still awake. Good for you. And Joe the other day got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He sent me this text early in the morning and said, man, God lit me up. So let's look at this. This is 1 John 3:22. John knew Jesus very well, and John knew the heart of Jesus. And so he said, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and we do what's pleasing. There's another promise, okay? And so thank God for that promise. And here is the prayer, suggested prayer on that day. I pray for my actual needs to be met by the right supply in the right way and at the right time. And so Joe has, by the way, you're going to see a bunch of slides till you get to the one for me. And he had a mountain of papers. I notice you have no papers now. They're in your back pocket. So there you are. Tell us something, Joe.
So prayer is talking to God. I was kind of embarrassed last week when I was talking to God. I thought, wow, I can't believe I'm saying this to God. I was being real. God likes that. God said that David was a man after his own heart. Why? Because David talked about real stuff. Can anybody relate? Anybody read through the Psalms? I mean, it's David talking to God. Prayer is simply talking to God. So Bob encouraged us to do more talking to God. If you go to the next slide for us, Bob, bottom left is where we all started. We weren't talking to God. Or if we were talking to God, we were saying God blanket or something else. So we all came from this place where we were doing our will in our own strength. I'm curious, can anybody remember what that was like, trying to do your own thing in your own strength? How did that work out for us? So that's where the world is, and that's the people we're praying for and inviting to church and saying, why don't you come with us as we all move on a journey to the top right? There isn't a Christian alive who doesn't want to do God's will in God's strength. And it's possible. None of us are perfect. But this is what we're aiming for. I want to do what God wants, and I want to do it in his strength. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit. As I do, I want to talk about the top left and the bottom right, where I get off track. So, like you, we're in the process of buying a house, and we are selling a house to buy the house. And I've been walking with the Lord for 36 years, and just yesterday, I am struggling with top right. I'm stuck at top left and bottom right. What do I mean by that? Well, do our will in God's strength. So basically what I'm saying is, God, I want you to sell this house. I want you to sell it at this price, and I want you to sell it now. Sorry, I'm human. And there was such an uneasiness about that. God, I want it now. As I said that and thought about that, I felt like a two-year-old. I want it now. And I'm going to throw a temper tantrum if I don't get my way right now. I know nobody else has ever gone through that, but I have. And so impatiently, I'm saying, hey, I want it my way, and I want it now. To be a little more practical, I remember one Sunday I was standing right here, and somebody said, would you pray that I don't have to pay my wife's child support? I said, no. I don't think that's God's will for you not to support your wife and child. But I will pray that God would pour out an abundant blessing in your life as you serve others and work hard, that he would bless you so you could do that and a whole lot more. I'll pray that for you. Bottom right. I also, if there's a road from bottom left to top right, that road going from doing our will and our strength to his will and his strength, sometimes I veer off that road a little bit to the bottom right. I want to do God's will, but I want to do it in my strength. Okay, God, I give you this house transaction. The outcome, top left, the outcome is in your hands. I trust it. I got to that place. I said, Lord, I just trust you. I know that you want what's good for me. I know that your ways are higher than my ways. I submit this to you. I give this to you. Anybody ever done that? That's a good thing to do, right? We're allowing him to be Lord of our life. And I got some notes here, Bob. And so what I'm saying is, it's not my worldly ambition. It's godly ambition, top left. It's not going to be my way. It's going to be his way. And so I pray. I pray, top left, like, not my will, but finish it. Your will be done. I pray things like, top left, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you and I trust you to direct my path. Amen? So I pray. And so I prayed through that and I trusted God with the outcome. But I'm still got this thing going where, okay, but I got to do something. I got to do something. Diane, I should call the realtor again. I should call the buyers again. I should lower the price. I should include this. I should do this. I should do that. I know nobody besides me ever does this where you think I got to go do something. So I trust God not just with the outcome, bottom right. I trust him with the method. I trust him to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me if God's calling me to do it. So God, give me your wisdom. Let me do what you want me to do in your timing, in your power, in your strength. And I also pray there, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I say, Lord, let me do this in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of his spirit. What's the opposite of it? It's our flesh. It's that flesh that stirs up in the bottom right quadrant that says, man, I got to strive to do it. I got to strive. I need my effort to do this. That brings a tremendous amount of frustration. I'm frustrated because I feel like I got to do it. So I said, Lord, I trust that your will be done in your time, and whatever happens, I'm good with it, Lord. And if you want me to do something, you lead me to do it. And he led me. He said, okay, do this. Do this kind of little either-or email and give him a couple choices. And Diane was at peace about it, and I was at peace about it. And I don't think I told you, Diane, that she said, it's pretty much a done deal. This thing is happening. Why? Because we're trying to do God's will in God's strength. And that is a journey worth taking, brothers and sisters. It's a journey worth taking. Bob, I want to finish with this scripture verse and just a little word of encouragement real quickly. So if you could go back to the scripture verse. So it's really good when you're reading these to go probably read the chapter that they're in so you get some context. So as I read over this particular chapter, which was in 1 John 3:22, I started in 1 John 3:1, and it says this. It says that God, it says, here we go. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. That's the first words of that chapter in the Bible. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. Lavish means extravagant and luxurious. Wow. See the love that God lavishes on you. He's lavishing his love on you. You see it, right? We need to see this. When I became a Christian at 30, ex-drug addict, ex-alcoholic, ex-sex addict, when I became a Christian, you know what I thought God was? I thought he was a cruel taskmaster who couldn't wait to punish me. I thought that's all he wanted to do is punish me. I didn't know he wanted to forgive me. I didn't know he wanted to love me. I didn't know he wanted to have a loving relationship with me. I didn't know that he wanted to put his Holy Spirit in me so that I could go live the abundant life. But when we understand how much he lavishes his love on us, we see this, and then we trust him. Lord, your will in your strength, your will with your guidance. May your will be done, Lord God. And so, lastly, Bob, right after that 3:22, it goes on to say in 3:23, and I'll just read this whole section. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, be good to know, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That is the gospel. That is those are the two great commandments. Love God and love others. May God give each of us the strength to receive his love, the wisdom to receive his love, the strength and the capacity to love others as he has loved us, and that we would go about serving others and loving others and living in that top right quadrant, doing his will in his strength as he works in and through us. And everybody that agrees with that prayer says, amen.
So nice, thank you, amen. So you have four people up here with microphones, and we've all worked through these prayers over the last couple of weeks. And my challenge to you is that you will, when we finish today, come by and pick up one of these papers and read the promise and spend time on the promise, and then spend time praying the suggested prayer or maybe another prayer that God puts in your heart. I would encourage you to do that. And I'm going to skip through a couple of slides here. These are some of Joe's notes that he felt that maybe not go to. But I want to put up here, and you have this written in the paperwork. I have a website, and that's the name of realvoices.com. Put the hyphen in there. And there will be every day a message in there from my own experience for the next 30 days. That'll give you a chance to establish a routine. And I would love for you, please, to put the submit part and join that. If you have email, it reads better over your phone by email than it does on a website. I'm actually going to ask the lady who does my website to kind of make it easier to read when she gets to it, hopefully by tomorrow. So you'll have one every day, and you'll hear what I have to say. But I would like to hear what you have to say, like these folks have so wonderfully done. And I'd like you to put in the comments section below, well, this is what God did with me. Just like our prayer a moment ago, just a brief statement. And if a bunch of us do this together, we can encourage one another for the next 30 days, which I think will be a tremendous way to start 2020 in our lives. So that's the goal and that's the plan. Amen. It is what, 5 minutes to 12? All right, we're through. Hold on. The invitation is going to be for you to come. And to Danny, why don't you come and just you bang out something on your guitar, all right? Maybe you and like, can he not do that or what? Huh? So we're gonna have a closing prayer, and he's gonna send us out of here with some worship. And Gabby, you did such a nice job first service. You gotta do it again.
Okay, let's bow our heads. God, we just thank you for Maywood, for the leaders here that equip us, and we just thank you, God, for your presence. We pray, God, that you can help us with our prayer and communication with you, and that this church is united through this prayer movement that Bob has started. It's only in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.